I think that because we don't know how to love ourselves often, we don't know how to love other people. And we don't even understand what love is. That love is everything. That every experience is love. Every being is love. Everything that we do and create in this life is love.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
DGP episode 227, it's November 3rd, 2021.
Oh my God. Oh my God. November 3rd, 2001. What were you doing?
Everybody was freaking out because 9/11 had just happened.
Oh my God, it had literally just happened. That's crazy to think about. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody was freaking out. That's exactly what was happening.
I think we were all just like, what
literally.
Is
And it was
happening?
Probably like election day or around God. That time. Oh my George God. Bush was we were literally sliding back in. No, that was the year before. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. All right. Anyway. I was being, how old? 12. I had just gotten adopted.
Oh, really?
In April of that year.
That's crazy. Yeah. What a year.
Quite a year indeed.
Literally. It's the year Aaliyah died.
Jeez. For real?
She died like right before 9/11.
Do you remember what month? Really? Okay.
She died in, I remember because it was right before I went to Salem. And then I remember 9/11 happened like the first couple weeks of school.
Salem Academy, your
Salem
high school.
Salem Academy, the high school that I went to.
Okay. But,
yeah.
Well, what an interesting day. So in the week and a half between the last time we were at the mics, right? Because there's time and then there's the recording that we missed and then there's more time. So much happened. It keeps happening. I really want to know what we were fighting about and why we didn't record.
I don't remember.
I think I was just having a mental health crisis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that has been a recurring theme. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that happened. Okay. Quick timeline for me, just to get on the same page as you. We had a sexual encounter. We had a weekend. All was fine. I took Plan B. I think that fucked with my hormones. I had a couple of days of really intense, what could have been hormone fucked withness.
Mm-hmm.
We had conflict, but in the way that like extreme chaos often makes conflict. And then we've been sort of riding a wave of trying to figure some of that out. That's my version, my side of things. I think we're going to talk about all of that.
Totally.
I think we've grown a lot. I think we've learned a lot about each other and about our relationship and the things that we need.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's what this show is mostly going to be about, is all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But first, do you want to talk about what you're inviting in?
Yeah. I always feel funny about this thing, this whole idea of inviting something in, because it is not something that I actively think about. I'm not like, this week I'm going to call in blank thing, like until we talk about it on the show. And I think it's an interesting practice, and I'm like, I've been practicing it while we've been doing it on the show.
Do you ever think about it throughout the week?
You know, I really don't, honestly. I don't think about doing differently than I'm going to be. Like, I just try to be.
Interesting. Okay.
Does that make
sense? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not like, oh, my goal is to behave in this manner.
Exactly. Okay. Like, I don't have weekly goals. I'm just like.
That's so funny.
I would like to survive the week because I enjoy being alive and I think it's fun. But I don't always feel that way. Sometimes I'm kind of over it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I enjoy being alive. I would like to keep living years. My goal is to get to the end of the week. Something that I've been thinking more about is gratitude and being thankful for things. And so maybe I will say actually this week something that I'm thankful for. But I guess I do like the practice of calling something in. I think it's a great practice. And I don't think that there's any one way to live this life. I think that we're all just trying to get through it or be in it. I think maybe it's sometimes about like getting through it, and I'm trying to just be in it. Mm-hmm. And something that I am calling in this week is having fun with it.
Okay.
Like just enjoying it.
Life.
Yeah, enjoying life. CoStar told me either yesterday or the day before, like you can enjoy your life or you can love your life or something like that. And I'll get stuck in these loops of like being mad that things aren't going the way that I decided that they should go. And I'll just be like a little bit grouchy or something that it's like, well, you know, I want to, like, for example, this morning, I really wanted to stretch because yesterday did not get to stretch. And we ended up just like going into the workday. I just had like back to back meetings, like all day. And what ended up happening yesterday was that I really enjoyed all of my meetings and calls, and I felt really positive and felt like energized and inspired by everyone that I got to talk to. And today, I feel like, yes, I did not get to stretch this morning. And yes, I do feel better on the days. I start the day feeling better physically in my body when I stretch. But it's not the only way that I can live this life. Some days I don't stretch and that's fine. And I think that just enjoying the ride of it is something that I have not, I certainly was not taught to. Like, I don't remember my parents ever emphasizing like having fun in life as being a priority or enjoying things. It was pretty much like, or the impression I got was that you have things that you're supposed to do and you fulfill those requirements. And because you fulfill those requirements, you will experience happiness. And I have never experienced that really to be true. Like, I feel like
happiness from checking the list off.
Yeah, I do enjoy Virgo rising. I do enjoy checking things off the list. But at the same time, like, the list is ever growing. There's always something new. There's always something that didn't get checked off. There's always something that you didn't do the way that you thought you should do it. And so this concept of just have fun with it is really interesting to me. And I'm just like trying it on. And it's nice to just be like, yeah, my life is chaotic and I like it that way. I make it chaotic. I do. I pick a bunch of shit up to carry because I want to carry a lot of shit. I like juggling. I like when things fall out. I like it, you know, so it's okay. And so I'm just kind of playing with that this week.
Yeah.
What about you?
Wow. All this talk and I wasn't even thinking about it. Well, that's probably good. That's good. To you. I don't know. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
You want me to do it now?
No. I mean, I would also say, like, maybe there's something that you're thankful for. I'm grateful that I woke up this morning.
Hell yeah.
And I'm grateful that I got to come this morning.
Hell yeah.
And I'm grateful that I got to sleep last night. And I'm grateful that I'm still in it. It's fun.
Wow. I love this. All of this. The things that are coming up for me is that I'm grateful for increased connection with my community. I've been, you know, it's, I feel like as an extrovert, it's like always tricky to understand how to get my needs met, my social needs met. I could see somebody every single day. And I think that I do really well when I'm not talking to somebody every moment of every day. But if I were to talk to somebody every moment of every day, I think I could get by for a really long time. Which is to say, when I'm feeling really dysregulated or like struggling a lot, what helps me feel better is talking to people and engaging and hearing from people and passing time that way, like getting through it that way, you know? And, so I'm doing more reaching out to my friends. I think being home helps. I'm a real out of sight, out of mind kind of friend often, which is just like, I mean, you're living your life, I'm living mine. Like, we don't need to, whatever. I also am finding that I mean, I have always known this. I just prefer in-person communication so much more. And everything is fucking digitized now. Every meeting and every hangout and everything is like on the internet. And it's not for me. It's, I mean, I'm not an internet kid. Like, I wasn't. Like, when you were, you know, helping Tumblr exist and building yoga community on Instagram, when it first came out, I was like playing basketball and getting my heart broken and writing love letters and listening to Ani DeFranco. And you know what I mean? Like, I just was not on the computer. And similarly now, like, it's not my go-to. It has become, Instagram has definitely become an addiction. but I like to connect in other ways. I've learned how to adapt, I think, a little bit in this last year to getting a lot of social interaction on Instagram. Mm. But I would take like 1 hour hanging out with my BFF mm-hmm. over years of Instagram, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not mutually exclusive, thank God. But anyway, I am really grateful for those connections and the ones that stay long, long, long after the last time we talked, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the glimpses into, throughout those connections, the glimpses into the ways that different people can love each other and how expansive love can be and how it actually is literally the only thing. It's the baseline. It's the starting point. Mm-hmm. It's like what we're made of. And so getting to engage with people. I've always been a person who knows that I love people, even if they don't know how to say it. You know, one experience is that one of my adopted parents never told me they loved me. One time, I remember it very specifically. They said, you know, I love you. The one parent did. I was like, no, you don't. Or what, maybe you do, but like, you don't have to talk about it. And like, it doesn't impact me that way, you know? And I'm sure this is a reaction to that, but like, I don't feel the need to say I don't love people. I don't need to tell people because it makes people uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah. But, well, they're having the same experience that your parents are having probably.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Never having been told that you are loved, and so therefore not knowing how to love. And what I feel so often is that many of us, some of us, all of us perhaps, have no idea what love is. Anyway,
but it's and everything. I mean, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Exactly.
This is what people don't understand. People want to be like, oh, he doesn't love you if he doesn't do blah blah blah.
Literally.
And I'm just like, first of all, what? Secondly, it's just, I mean, how could we even begin this conversation?
Well, it's like, okay.
I'm like so lost at how to even start.
Well, I don't know that we need to really get all the way into this, but I think that because we don't know how to love ourselves often, we don't know how to love other people. And we don't even understand what love is. That love is everything, that every experience is love, every being is love, everything that we do and create in this life is love. But we think that love is happiness or pretty or good.
Joyful. Joyful. Like you were talking about inviting joy because you love your life.
But it's all the different things. And I think that, you know, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. It all adds up together to make a lot of sense.
Anyway.
I did just want to say that what you're saying about never having, like about love and connections is so much of what, and enjoying the connections with other people is so much of what we've been going through and working with these last couple weeks.
Yes.
And was even a part of why we weren't on the mic last week. And I don't feel this way about the same way that you do about human connection. Like, I don't feel like I could spend all my time with other people. Right. But I have recently appreciated a lot of different connections that have come up and or things that are happening in person, things that are happening digitally. I do appreciate digital connections. Sometimes it's just close enough for me. But and I think we'll talk about that maybe on another episode, talk about our connections and friendships and things that are happening right now. But for this episode, we were going to specifically talk about the threesome.
Jessamine's conversion to threesome liking.
I don't know.
That's
why we should have recorded last week.
Literally,
because I feel like in that time, my opinion, it was like, I'm like, it was kind of a while ago. I don't remember now. I've talked about how I don't care for threesomes because I think it's a very difficult number in terms of people, which I still think. I think that three is a complicated number.
Three is also a very sacred number.
Yes.
And I think it's both. I think that's part of what is so powerful about a threesome that like, and what can be missed so easily if like folks aren't on the same page.
In every part of history, there's some kind of connection to the number three. their other numbers are also divine. Nine is a very, we can say so much about the number three, okay. But I think that in practice, mm-hmm. a threesome is very complicated because if there's two, frequently, this is what happens. And this is even what happened with us. Mm-hmm. There are two people who are together. They're a couple. The couple brings a third person into their sex life. Mm-hmm. And bringing that third person in, the reasons that people bring that third person in, I think vary. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes the three hard. So that if you are starting with three people who are all on the same page,
this is such it's a
not,
hypothetical.
It's not this.
We literally just had
it's three. This. Seasons.
Why don't you tell me about your experience?
I'm just saying that I think it's complicated. This is what happened, actually. Okay. And even what happened, I think, could have been more complicated than it was. Yeah. You have a friend that you, an acquaintance, you're friends. Now, sure. Anyway.
Now I was about to say, I mean, a lot has happened.
Y'all met on Grindr. Mm-hmm. Y'all had met up before. Mm-hmm.
For sex.
This was before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Y'all had tried to meet up in the time since then. I am never a part of this. It's not for me. Mm. Which
ended up being for you.
Okay, but it wasn't being, I'm not like, oh, let's have a threesome. Right. You know, this is someone, you're like, I need dick. I'm looking for dick. This guy is here. Let's have that. Then, like, let's find another way to do it, mm-hmm. another time to do it. And it turned out that the next time for it to do it, the time that it made the most sense was for him to come over to our house, our trailer that is parked in my parents' driveway, mm-hmm. and have him over. Mm-hmm. You told me about this about like an hour or two before it was supposed to happen.
I enjoy sex and I enjoy sex with good people. And like, I don't think it has to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And this is like I promise you, and maybe this is TMI for some people, but this is definitely a legacy of my mother. She is a very, very sexual person. A lot of people have moms who are sexual. I'm mm-hmm. going to be a mom who's a sexual person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She has definitely passed on the ability to get your needs met that way, or at least get what you think your needs are that way. So I'm also an Aries. Like, I feel very bold. Like, I can ask for the things I want. And what I find is when I'm with cis men, I'm even more able to like discern and speak into existence the things that I want, because I find men to be very direct, generally speaking, with the things that they want, whether they're saying them out loud or not. Very direct with getting what they want a lot of times, especially in sex. So we had talked about the one that didn't happen. We had talked about trying again
With somebody different. These
well,
are two different
you and
people.
I had talked about trying again with that same person.
Yes.
And then I think we were in a conversation where you were like, I mean, if you can make it happen, make it happen.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's
bet.
True. That's super real.
And so then a couple hours later, which was a couple
you're an
hours
Aries,
before,
literally.
I was like, okay, so a person is going to come over. You know, I told you about him before the pandemic, this thing happened. Da-da. Yeah, he'll be here at 11. And you were like, okay. And you were like, I'm just going to go to sleep.
Well, no, you said that he was, he was going to arrive after I'd gone to sleep.
Yeah.
Because this is a fantasy that I've talked about that I like the idea of waking up and you, or honestly, this is a thought that I've had before
anybody,
you. Yeah. That my partner is fucking someone else next to me. It's also like a scary thing for me. It makes me sad, but that's part of what I appreciate about it. So it's, you said he's going to show up. Mm-hmm. You're going to be in bed. Mm-hmm. He's going to show up. If you wake up at some point, you might see us having sex. Mm-hmm. I was like,
Sounds good.
I mean, we're already at the house. I'm going to bed. Like, it's whatever. So like, you're cleaning up the house. I'm sitting here chilling. Like, we do a couple shots. We're chilling. And I was planning to get in the bed before he actually got to the house.
Yeah.
But then he gets to the house. I'm sitting here at the table with you. And when he comes in, he's just like a very chill person.
Yeah, he's good.
And he just like shook my hand and he was like, you have a really strong handshake. Or I said, you have a really firm handshake. And he said, so do you. And I said, huh. I didn't say that, but we embraced.
He went in for a hug.
He went in for a hug.
It was very sweet and jovial and loving. And he was just like happy to meet you. And
literally, he's a nice guy. He's a good third, I think.
Yeah.
Because he's not. Yeah. Well, to my knowledge, y'all are not like in a deep flirtation, romantic situation. No. And so
we went maybe months and months before even thinking of each other. He's right. In a partnership. Like, he has a job. He's getting a degree. Like, he's doing his life.
Right.
I found that we were more compatible, like, as friends this last time we hung out with him than I had any sense of before, because we had never really talked about anything before. And we never texted about anything. The only things we've ever texted about are meeting up. Well, I did ask him, he's reading a book that I asked him about, and he said, man, I've been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to read it. That was the only social text I've ever, that was the only non-scheduling text I've ever sent with him. But anyway, please go on.
I told you that you told me about this thing about the book.
Well, let's get there.
We don't need to.
Let's get there in the story.
I thought we were there.
Okay. Great. Go.
Well, because you told me before he got there, you were like, oh, he said he's reading The Sun Also Rises, which is one of my favorite books. Yeah. And I am also reading this right now. And I was just like, oh, okay. So it made me like, okay, so he's like a chill person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he got here. He was very chill. I guess we like did a shot all together. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much you were going down on him like pretty quickly after that. And Aries.
And you were sitting. So you sat back down at the table, right?
No. Okay. So what? Okay. No. What happened was Baby Shark started freaking out that he was there. And I took Baby Shark outside, and I don't remember what else I was doing outside. But then I came back inside, and it was clear that y'all were like getting intimate, and
we were making out while you were walking the dog,
right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I was trying to be unobtrusive, or like trying to just not be around.
We live in one room.
I know,
it's amazing. I found your energy to be hilarious in the sense that you were doing this thing of like, oh, excuse me, I'm just gonna go over here, and it's like we live in one room. The whole point, like, there was no way it was gonna be like, and I was so happy about this. There was no way you were gonna like be doing something else. Do you know what I mean? Or like not a part of the thing, unless you were in the bed, turned away, asleep.
That's what I was. So I was trying to just get in the bed away from what was happening. Yeah. And so I go to the bathroom, I change my clothes, I come out of the bathroom, I'm crawling onto the bed, and he just immediately started like wailing on my ass. Like he was just like smacking my ass in a way that I really need, honestly. And I need to stand more in the fact that I need it.
He's so interesting in that, like I said about being direct but not necessarily verbal, he was like, you know, I was going down on him while you were crawling across the bed, and he was just like, he knew that you were down. I told him that like we may end up in a threesome and that's perfectly fine, but we may not, it might just be me and him, and that's fine too. So he was sort of like asking you without asking you verbally. And I don't know how different people feel this. I know that people need really explicit verbal communication, and I am so down, and I'm a pretty explicit verbal communicator during sex. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't need it in the same way. Like, I can be asked physically for different things, especially if it is clearly like, okay, I'm going to do this softly or gently or start to do this, but go slow so that you can stop me or whatever. And I get that different people have different skill sets around that. I feel very comfortable most of the time so far being like yes or no based on a nonverbal request. That isn't everybody, so I just want to make sure that that's known. It seems like maybe you too, because the way that he started to touch and smack your ass, I was monitoring because I brought this person in, like, if he had done something that isn't to your liking, it's my responsibility, you know. So I was like multitasking with my
something that I'm realizing,
oral sex plus like protective energy at the same time.
Something that I'm realizing in talking about this is the reason why it would have been helpful to have some level of negotiation between the three of us ahead of time. Because my therapist even afterwards was like when I was talking about us doing it again, she was like, would you want to be a part of the negotiation next time? Because I knew that y'all had already discussed what was going to happen, what was on the table, what was not on the table. And I told her then that I wouldn't, because I don't really need that in general. To your point, like, I'm pretty good with Or really what it is that I feel comfortable asserting myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if I'm not into something, mm-hmm. I will just let you know. Mm-hmm. But if I am into something, I don't need to have you spell it out for me right. all the way verbally. Right. Right. Though I do appreciate that. Totally. And it is very, it feels so generous when a person, mm-hmm. and so affirming and really very nice. And mm-hmm. I think that there is a way that it would have been very helpful for me for us to have had that ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. You and I, or the three.
I think the three of us.
Totally.
Because he was going in on my ass in a way that I really need and mm-hmm. therefore was having an involuntary response to. Mm-hmm. But I did not want that to happen. Ultimately, I was trying to get to my side of the bed, get in the bed and just watch. Like mm-hmm. I'm a voyeur. End of the day, period. That's what I identify mm-hmm. as more than a top, bottom, switch, anything. I'm a voyeur. Mm-hmm. I like to just enjoy and appreciate. I don't even have to physically be involved mm-hmm. at all. Like, I just like to totally. Experience it.
Gender is boring, and so are heteronormative hookup apps. With so many dating sites that feign gender inclusivity, it's hard to know if there's really something out there with our needs in mind.
A person's assigned sex has nothing to do with who they want to suck and stroke. Studies show that roughly 100% of AFABs who fuck have also considered fucking with a phallus. The D puts that phallus into your hands.
At the D, they believe that being a stud, butch, or mask of center AFAB shouldn't pigeonhole you into algorithms where you see page after page of vaginas.
They also believe you deserve more than your town's finest camo-clad chads who know nothing about gender identity.
Let them have their cis, they're straight, and they're simple. You have the D.
The D is the hookup app for queer AFABs who just want a little dick.
Allow your gender expression to be a highlight and not a liability. You bring your whole self. The D will bring the dicks. How to use them is up to you.
Remember, we encourage you to wrap every D and use condoms with all sex that exchanges fluids.
Not available on the App Store nor on Google Play.
But he was going in on me, and he is very forceful in a way that I'm grateful for. Yes.
I only know Sagittarians for some reason.
He's also just really strong and very sexy. Totally. And I was like, yeah, I need this right now. Like, I'm here for this. Yeah. And he's huge. And you're like taking him all the way down your throat.
Come on.
And I mean, for real. And I'm like, this is a fantasy that I have and that I don't have to pretend that I don't have. And I'm having this like mental push pull. But I do think it would have been nice to like not need to have that, because I think he would have very clearly heard, I'm just going to go to the side of the bed and like just be over there. He'd been like, cool. Because the thing was, I was crawling away and he kept pulling me back. And the thing is, generally speaking, that is a big green light for me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm here for this 100%. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, there's no way for me to stop this without either saying the color red, which to me is a very big, I could say yellow.
Yeah.
But even saying yellow is saying something that I'm like, is this really how I feel? Do I feel this way? Can I just get all this out?
Please, I'm just and here with you.
Sorry. But then, like, he is, I don't want to disrupt the flow of things. I have disrupted the flow of many threesomes in my life. Literally the last week.
No.
And then the time that I really, this time with my ex and his now partner, life partner, spouse, his now spouse. Wow, for real. Wow, holy shit. We can talk about that later. I disrupted the vibe in that one. And I
know
that
story too. I think you're being hard on yourself.
I know, but I just did not. I have cock blocked you. I cock blocked you literally the week before that.
Never once.
Okay. It felt like I did. And I was just like, I don't know. I'm like, how not into this am I really? And I get that, like, I'm sure there's a therapist who's listening who's like, you don't have to feel this way. Like,
I am an almost therapist that is saying you don't feel this way.
I just want to express this because I didn't have an issue with it ultimately. Yeah. And it did ultimately get, like, I just was like, well, yeah, I'm gonna do this then. Like, I tried to get away for a while. And then I was like, nah, I'm kind of good. That's fine. And so then we ended up having a threesome that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. And what about it? God, I have so many things to say. Mm-hmm. So number one, I remember the first time we were having kinky sex where we were talking about colors, mm-hmm. in terms of safe words. And I don't know, we had this really interesting experience where, like, I used a word that you, like, said, oh, I almost never use that. And I'm like, what's the point in having the word if you refuse to use it? Since then, I mean, I think I said red and meant yellow or something. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think we were just, like, getting it down or whatever, like, the mm-hmm. culture around it. Because there's not just one way to say, I need to talk,
yeah.
which is how we talk about yellow. Mm-hmm. There's not just one severity or, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, it could be like, ooh, that pinches. Mm. Like, hang on, you mm-hmm. know, that could be yellow, but you literally won't even say yellow. And it makes me worried sometimes that there mm-hmm. are things you need to be different that you won't say because you don't want to disrupt the mm-hmm. flow. And for me, I will just say that it was very important to me to make sure I was watching you and watching him and watching his hands and knowing what he was doing and feeling his body tension and feeling like the energy and whether, and what I watched was he would pull you and then you would sort of, I know how strong you are. Mm-hmm. And I know when you're intending something, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, and I know that you know how to speak up for yourself, but I was also like, this is a new environment. I would just want to make sure that if I brought somebody in, that I'm making sure the communication is happening, however it needs to. What I saw you do was like relent mm-hmm. in ways that you would never relent unless you meant to. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Giving him information about what he was doing. And I saw him sort of let you pull away and then try to pull you and mm-hmm. let you surrender.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, it feels important to me that like you were communicating
yeah.
somehow.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. And
so I didn't realize that I didn't express
that. Well, I just wanted to make sure that it was clear that because what I heard you say is you tried to get away and couldn't.
Oh, okay. Heard.
I'm not trying to correct you. I'm trying to make sure that like.
It's so hard to talk about these things in a way where it's like, it's going to be understood by multiple people. Cause I get what you're saying,
yeah.
but it's also in the same category of like why I didn't say yellow and like why yeah. I just don't, I'm like, if I mean yellow, I will say yellow, right. but I obviously wanted it, you yeah. know, like I was not. And I also think that the point of the negotiation is that we can be three individual people who don't have to take care of each other yeah. in the scene. Like that we,
yeah.
like I appreciate you. But you keep saying like I brought him in, you know, but yeah. it's like he's his own person and you're your own person yeah. and y'all have just come together. And like, I'm my own person. Like, I want to be able to stand on my own two feet as my own person. So it's not even really about y'all. It's about me asserting myself and what I am, not just because I left it to you to handle it. I'm like, oh, Ash has got it. She's told him what he needs to know about me. You didn't tell him what he needed to know about me. You know, like I need to tell him what yeah. he needs to know about me.
Right.
So that I think was the an interesting takeaway for me about like being direct and yeah. like insisting upon that, even if it's something that I don't think I need, because mm. I, again, was be cool with what happened. Like, I thought that was all fine.
Well, I'm sorry.
But I think that it's helpful to assert yourself ahead of time. Yeah. And I think I want to remember that moving forward.
Totally. Well, me too. I think there was a very clear moment where we were like all clothed, chummy, mm-hmm. he had just gotten there, y'all were doing your strong hand thing, and I could have been like, or anybody could have been like, hey, so here are things we're going to make sure we do or not do, or you know what I mean. I didn't want to be so much of a facilitator, and I find that you have a style of very much like being easy, you know, just like mm-hmm. being like cool in a space, like what needs to be said will be said. Like, I'm often belaboring the point. Like, one time we were parking somewhere and I was like, should we tell our neighbors that we smoke weed? So they're not like, are they smoking weed? Like, yes, okay, we are totally. Smoking. And you're like, we don't need to tell. It's like, if it comes up, it comes up. Like, don't force the situation, you know? And so, you know, we're continually and consistently learning each other's styles. I guess I do just want to say, in terms of interrupting the flow, even, I hate, and I'm talking about hate, sex educators who think about verbal consent needing to be, or use examples of verbal consent, even when they're mm-hmm. when they're like showing how do the thing that movies don't do, mm-hmm. which is like tell, you know, like explain to your partner what you need.
Yeah.
I just hate when they do it in unsexy ways because I think it can be so sexy. And I'm just like, you're totally doing a disservice to the health and well-being of human beings if you're trying to be a sex educator and think that consent isn't the sexiest thing.
That's literally why I have difficulty giving consent, because it always sounds so unhot. I'm like, this is not fun.
If you had said you're good or stop, or you had been like, no, I'm not into
it. No, but I did eventually.
Then you said something like yellow. I would have just very sexily like grabbed his hands and like put them on me and just been like, mm-hmm. she's good for now, whatever. Like mm-hmm. been a part of that with you. And mm-hmm. and I just think that it can be really a hot thing. Mm-hmm. I think it can be really like, and it's a privileged thing to say, I know, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of physical power. I'm a very strong mm-hmm. and tall and broad person. And mm-hmm. so there are ways that I've known dating women, dating small women. Mm. I know that we have differences in how we feel capable of showing up and reinforcing the things we say. Because mm-hmm. I will give you mm-hmm. a good fucking mm-hmm. fight. You mm-hmm. want to go for it, literally. You'll probably overpower me, but I will fuck you up mm-hmm. in the process. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, all of that is just to say, like, I know that I'm coming from a place of a little bit of a different situation by being mm-hmm. able to be like, I can very confidently try 1, 2, 3 things before I have to get violent, you know, mm-hmm. if somebody's not listening. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I hate to keep it in those terms, like we're talking about hot stuff, but like, mm-hmm. I don't have sex with people that I couldn't imagine physically overpowering if I needed to, because I have a sexual trauma history, mm-hmm. period. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's just always there. It's always present. Like it's always going to be there. I think that having it and healing with it over time makes my sexual palate more, I have a different experience of sex mm-hmm. than people who don't have a sexual violence history. Mm-hmm. So I think I explore things in ways that feel different than people have told me
that they experience
when they haven't been raped.
What's an example of that?
I think my kink, mm-hmm. I have a varied kink mm-hmm. interest. I think a lot of people do. I don't mm-hmm. think it has to be because you have sexual violence in mm-hmm. your life, but I think that it is like, it's not scary anymore. Something, some mm-hmm. things have happened that I'm like, okay, that's not, mm-hmm. that's actually kind of interesting, in mm-hmm. fact, to explore. I think there's a lot of healing that happens in kink when I mm-hmm. go for the things that come up in my mind. And things that come up in my mind sometimes are things that are bad that happened, mm-hmm. you know? And so healing in that way, I think recreating these things, there's a lot of thought out there, I think, about what this kind of sexual reaction is, mm-hmm. sexual reaction to violence, like. I'm not a philosopher on any of that, nor am I a sex educator. I just know my experience is like things I'm kinky about, like resemble things that hurt me before, you mm-hmm. know, and I just know that for myself. So it makes it feel better mm-hmm. over time. That's like literally all I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we got here.
I mean, I think this is the whole reason I want to talk about
consent
this.
Is yeah. sexy. Yeah. I just think it can be so hot. And I know, mm-hmm. I think that because I've been listened to mm-hmm. often. I've been not listened to, you know, mm-hmm. and I know the difference. And I also really am only interested in having sex these days with people whose energy I vibe with. Mm. Another privileged thing, I think. But it's, I just like, I've met up with people that I'm like, I will never meet up with that person again. I'm not interested in that at all. So I think all of that comes up for me. Tell me.
What?
I don't know.
I was just listening. I mean, I feel like I think I don't know how to talk about, in the same way that, like, categorically, I'm disabled, but I don't identify as disabled. Mm. Categorically, I have experienced sexual violence, but I don't consider myself someone who
has survivor.
Yeah. I don't identify that way. Hmm. So I don't know how to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I don't have language around it. And I'm experiencing that in you talking about it. And so maybe that was on my face.
Okay.
And that's why you're like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And I think that does express what I was thinking. So I don't know. I don't know. I wish I knew more of what to say.
You don't need to. I am like, I do want to ask more about like what's coming up for you around this.
I think like shame, like really deep shame of not knowing how to communicate, not even knowing how to communicate right now. Not having talked it all out, not having said all the things so that I can know what the language is. And I've felt like everyone has varied interests for different reasons. And that we're all just carrying what we remember feeling good and trying to make that happen again. So if you enjoy like sweet romance and like a Disney version of life, it could be because that's what made you feel good. That was the time that you felt good. And that if you appreciate something, if you like something scarier, if you need something scary, something that someone might consider scary, maybe someone else wouldn't consider scary.
Yeah.
It's because it made you feel good at some point. And I think that I have not thought that much about it. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. And so I don't know what to say.
You said the things that you did say, I think, are very important, and I'm grateful for them. You're also a writer. I feel like you might have a lot to write about, you know? That's what I find, though, is like not everybody communicates verbally. Like, that's not the release.
That's exactly right. Literally.
I've been saying that this whole episode. Like, I think the verbal community, the requirement for that extroverts have put on the world for everybody to communicate exclusively verbally, as opposed to like figuring out many different kinds of ways that are acceptable and just as clear that are nonverbal. I think it could be great. And it's just not, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But it's an accessibility thing, you know, and I think on the note of disability, like, and trauma, right? There's like all kinds of ways to make sure we are thinking about things so that like everybody can come to the table. And I don't think it has to be on hot. That's all.
I agree. I don't know. I'm kind of depressed now. I don't really know how to, I guess I can enjoy that though.
Can.
Maybe I enjoy feeling depressed. What I was calling in this week, enjoying life, like loving my life, having fun with it.
So you're not having fun.
I think it's just a hard thing. It's a hard topic. It's a hard topic for me. And I haven't thought it all the way through before right now. And I don't typically verbally process like that, at least not right off the bat. And I feel exposed and on display and like I wish I could control more of it. And I think that's all good. I mean, I guess what I would say about the threesome is that I really enjoyed it. I did enjoy it.
Do you feel like it's possible now that threesomes can be a configuration that works?
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought that threesomes are a configuration that work. I just think that everyone's not always on the same page. And even when you think you're on the same page, you're not always on the same page.
It sounds like nobody is ever on the same page.
I think you can be on the same page with people.
So what do you think about this threesome worked? Where they fail otherwise?
I think that he is not trying to be in a relationship with either one of us. And neither one of us is trying to be in a relationship with him. And no one seems to be lying to anyone about how they feel. That's really it. Like,
and the threesome doesn't work when, like, really one of the people in the couple wants to run off with the third.
And that's not been clearly communicated to the other person who's there. Or some variation on that.
A threesome that didn't work for me one time was just like, I guess a nuance in what you're saying is like, I was like, hey, we're all friends, like coming together, whatever. But those two wanted to end up together. Do you know what I mean? Wanted to date. And I was just like, okay, this is dumb. And another threesome that was kind of just less, which just wasn't that great. Those two, I was having a great time. And the other two were like not into each other. And they were just like, this is fine. Mm-hmm. You know? I was like, y'all are both so hot. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, the like sex and gender configuration is typically like can be predictably hard or easy, mm-hmm. you know, and the like dykes who bring in a cis dude who's genuinely uninterested in their lives mm-hmm. is kind of like the setup that works for what you're talking about. Like, we don't want to be in relationships with each other, you mm-hmm. know, but also that you and I would ostensibly process over and over again how it all happened and be fine with it later.
I actually feel like talking about it today. I don't really need to process it anymore. I mean, we can keep talking about it, but I had wanted to talk about this part of it and I didn't really know what would come up, but
which part of it?
Everything we talked about today. The
say more.
The complexities of negotiation.
Yeah.
And the reasons why we get into it. And like, it was very interesting to me that I was not able to assert no or stop or red or yellow. It was mm-hmm. so interesting because I knew at the time none of those things were things I wanted to say, but I wanted to lay all that out a little bit more and have a better understanding of what was happening. And while I don't know if I have a better understanding of it, I do feel like I've seen it all out. So maybe I guess we will need to talk about it again. I don't know.
It made me, when you said, I don't need to talk about this again, it felt like what I was, this is just, it felt like you were saying, I don't want to feel this way anymore.
Yeah. I think that is how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Well, it makes me definitely want to talk about it again. Maybe not on a microphone.
Yeah.
And I didn't anticipate feeling this way after the episode because
yeah, me neither.
I think most of what we talked about happened was really positive.
Yeah.
And it felt like there was like an increased trust or something experience that I had with mm-hmm. you of just being like, cool, this thing happened. Like, it was nice. Like, we were open to each other and evolution and growth. And, you know, I think that we tended to each other in really lovely ways, you know, during and after and before mm. we actually did get into a little tiff right before, but I think it was like we were both a little anxious. I think it's interesting. I was like cleaning anyway. I also think that this is how we build communication, right? Mm-hmm. Is by like having these kinds of debriefs and like letting everything come up, because if this hasn't come up before in the times, many times that we've talked about what happened, we didn't talk enough yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful that these times I'm obviously not in your position, but it feels important to me when discomfort happens. It has felt important to me this last week that I was having all of the reactions I was having and being forced to sort of grow from them. I'm wondering if you're really done with this conversation.
No, I'm just feeling really unhappy and sad and like I might cry, honestly. I'm just feeling a lot of feelings. I feel upset. It's not about you. It's about me. Yeah. It's just messed up. Let's get out of here.
I love you. Thank you for this time.
Yeah, I love you too.
Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, DearJessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They help us out a lot and give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Who the hell is on our team? Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Jamie Lepper draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer, and I am Jessamine Stanley. We believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tenderfire. Drop Paige.